ta'ala, allow us all to see the month of Ramadan and to take maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan. For this to become a reality, the ulama have explained many aspects regarding preparation of Ramadan. One must pay his dues. If he's owing Allah ta'ala qazas, qaza fast, qaza salas, unpaid zakat, all that he must make up for it before Ramadan. Try his best to fulfill all that before the month of Ramadan. The ladies, if the previous Ramadan they have some qaza fast and they haven't paid it back, then now in the month of Sha'ban they must fast those fasts. Whether it's 5 fasts, 7 fasts, 10 fasts, whatever it is, this is the time now they need to pay back for those fasts. Increasing our ibadat also. A very easy way is make sure that all the rakats of each salah is firstly performed. Zohar is 12 rakats, we don't leave out the nafil in preparation. Asar is 8 rakats, Maghrib is minimum 7. And Isha is 17 rakats. So that would be one person can start. And then increase the Ishraq Salah, the Awabin Salah, and the Tahajjud Salah. From now, you make a habit of waking up for Tahajjud, then Sehri will become very easy. Person won't say that I'm missing Sehri, it's becoming hard. So from now, a person sets his alarm that I'm going to wake up now for Tahajjud. 3 o'clock in the morning, let me put my alarm. Then I'm making my Tahajjud, then for Sehri, it become very, very easy. So these are some of the aspects that a person can put some emphasis on in preparation for the month of Ramadan. Then when it comes to the Taraweeh Salah, and we find unfortunately in recent times, this issue of 8 rakats Taraweeh has become an issue. And unfortunately even in the Haramain, they have reduced from the 20, which was all the time there, for years and years and years, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in the last few years they made it to 10, whatever it is. We should understand that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 20 rakats. There are so many ahadith. I'm just going to read a few to make us understand that this is definitely the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-Hasna rahmatullahi alayhi says, Ali radiallahu anhu appointed a person to perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah with the people during the month of Ramadan. Amash rahmatullahi alayhi says, during the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to lead the Taraweeh Salah for the people. He used to perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah and 3 rakats of Witr Salah. Most of the masail from the Hanafi Mazhab are derived from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi says, the illustrious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah during the reign of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. If they did it like that, then we don't look for loopholes, and we don't look for new ways of doing things, we just follow. Furthermore, the ulama have emphasized that dua, the month of Ramadan is a month of dua. So from now, we get into the habit of making dua. Learn how to make dua for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, for 20 minutes. Person should learn now how to make dua to Allah Ta'ala in different languages. Then how to start the dua, how to end the dua. Start with the praises of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I was telling someone, very, very easy. You take one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. You understand Allah ta'ala's name. And then you call unto Allah with His name. For example, يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you continuously think of Allah's mercy upon you. And how much you need Allah's mercy. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Think of all your needs. Oh, the one that is the most merciful of all those that show mercy. And think, concentrate. Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, many years ago, he was saying something like this, that you get two types of dua. You say one dua is where a person just casually makes dua, just reads a few words of dua. And one dua is when a person puts his heart, mind and soul in that dua. When he puts his heart, mind and soul, then that person goes into a different realm. He doesn't even know what time, how much of time is passing. That's why we are, you know, the elders of the past, we are, how they used to make dua for 1 hour or 2 hours. They don't even know, if you ask them, they don't even know the time. Why? Because they're getting so much of enjoyment in that dua also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in sajda. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is thinking that maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in sajda. She goes and touches the feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and moves his feet. So she realizes he hasn't passed away. And what he's saying? He's saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi'afrika min iqabik. Wa'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik. Wa'udhu bika minka. Jalla wajhuk. The closest a person is to Allah ta'ala in sajda. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person in sajda is making dua, or is making dua by raising his hands. But when he is absorbed in that dua, he is in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is absorbed. It's like he's not even there. So we need to train for this. So we take the name of Allah ta'ala. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa ya Raziq al-Tifli al-Saghir. The one that sustains even a small baby. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed. Well, I need protection like the... You see, we learn a few du'as. And beautiful du'as. Or beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. But repeat it. Allahumma ya kabiru, ya sami'u, ya basiru, ya man la sharika lahu, wa la wazira lah. So if you know a few du'as and the meanings, and you say it a few times, then it starts to have an effect on the heart. The person is talking to Allah, and he focuses, puts his mind in that frame, that I'm talking to my friend, Wakil, Wali. Allah is Wali. I'm talking to my Creator. I'm talking to my Sustainer. And he says those names, and it has an effect on his heart, and he humbles himself. Istaqbilu amwaj al-bala bid-du'a wa tadarru. How beautifully the hadith says. Face the waves of trials with dua and imploring, beseeching, humbling oneself in dua. So from now we try it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And our Hazrat Mufti Sahib explains that there's a need to cry also. That need to cry. See, not many people are crying. He gives one incident, but we won't want to go into one aspect only. He said the need to cry. When a person cries, when the eyes open and the tears fall, and from the heavens that mercy opens, the doors of mercy opens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes decisions. So dua. So we want, whatever we want from Ramadan, so sow the seeds now at least. Quran Sharif. They say Sha'ban is Shahrul Qurra. Is the month of the Qurra, of the reciters of the Quran. Now if I want to read, for example, 3 juz of the Quran daily in Ramadan, just an example. Of 4 juz. So from now I must start making my schedule. Before Salah, after Salah. How I can get it done. Many people are busy. They got work. They got responsibilities. So together with all that, from now we make our schedule. And then we'll see inshallah the fruit of it later on. Then we know, we often hear the hadith says, increase in the recitation of La ilaha illallah, istighfar, asking Allah Ta'ala for Jannah, asking Allah for protection from Jahannam. So keep this in mind. These zikrs. La ilaha illallah, istighfar abundantly. Asking Allah Ta'ala for Jannah. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the fire of Jahannam. So these are some of the preparations that a person can make when it comes to the month of Ramadan. Our focus in these programs generally are the masail. So we want to discuss more on the rules, the regulations, the masail. We know that fasting is where a person abstains from food, from drink, and sexual intercourse with one spouse from the time that Subh Sadiq begins, that is just when Fajr time enters, until sunset, Maghrib time. So in that period, a person cannot eat, drink, or engage in sexual intercourse, and he must fast with the intention of fasting. In Ramadan, just the mere fact that a person has the intention of fasting, even in the heart, he doesn't say it verbally also, then his fast will be accepted. When it comes to forgetfully, person first day now, forgetfully, if he ate or if he drank, then his fast won't break. That is well-known, famous masla, forgetfully if a person ate or drank, then his fast will not break. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi explained that the three levels, one is the fasting by not eating and drinking or engaging in sexual intercourse. But the other is to fast from sin. And then he said the third level is when a person protects his mind also. And today with social media, with the news, and then videos popping up, images, then we have to stay away from these things. If we want to protect our mind, it disturbs the mind. We become curious. Someone will mention something on a group, some argument is happening, some ghibat is taking place, some article came up, and we didn't really need to read it. But because we read it, it puts us in turmoil. Our Quran Sharif gets affected, our zikr. So in the month of Ramadan, we must be sort of in an itikaf mode. We explain our elders, as the Sheikh Zakaria used to say, eat, sleep, whatever, but don't talk. Don't talk. Interaction now must be to the minimum. Now the engagement is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to take maximum from the month of Ramadan, now we have to disengage from people, disconnect from people, and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. So, with regards to the intention, as long as the intention is in the heart, then that will be accepted. Our children, we should try and train them up from the age of 7, train them for fasting, slowly, slowly. We give them concessions, small, small children. But by the age of 10 now, they must start fasting. We must try and keep full fast. Like salah, from the age of 7, we start the training, then from the age of 10, they must fast full. Otherwise, if they are bali of 14, 15, and now we're telling them to fast, they're going to become very, very lazy, and they're going to feel it very hard to fast. So we create that environment of fasting for them. If a person has a wet dream while fasting, that wet dream will not break the fast. I just asked the boys the other day, I asked them this masla. I said, if a person has a wet dream in the month of Ramadan, what happens? So most of them said his fast is broken. So I said, no, fast is not broken because it's not your doing. It's not your doing. You're not to blame for it. You slept away. It happened now. So all you do is you take a ghusl, but make sure you don't gargle such that your fast is in jeopardy. And don't breathe the water in through your nose. You just place water in your nose and gargle, rinse your mouth and have your normal ghusl. And inshallah, your fast will be intact and you can carry on like normal. If a person falls ill, such that, for example, you know, sometimes Allah Ta'ala protect us, that is why we read the dua, Allahumma sallim na li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallim lana mutaqabbala. Some of our brothers, sometimes some issue happens, they end up in hospital. And if a person is ill, so those days that he is ill, now he is not fasting, so Allah Pak has given concession, people are seriously ill, not for small illnesses, little bit headache, little bit pains, but for serious illnesses, person needs to go for an operation or whatever it is, then those days you will have to make qaza of it later on. If someone has some sickness that is doesn't permit him and allow him a very severe case of diabetes where he can't fast, so then he will have to give that fidya for every day that he doesn't fast. Then we spoke about those, some of the factors that break the fast. If a person had to go and smell something that has a body. You see, normal ether, the normal ether that we use is fine. But if it's something that is burnt, and the smoke, if you go and smell it, one is it's burning somewhere, and you just came into that area, that's different. But one is when you go directly there, and you sniff it in. So even that air fresheners or the deodorants, if you spring it and you're smelling it, so then that will invalidate the fast. Almost every year one question comes about cooking halim and the smoke, fire. So they say that is now, that's like necessity. Going in a shower and a steam. Now that is now out of necessity. But that is part of life. But these other aspects of the, for example, the oud is burning. And now you're going and you're sniffing it. And that will break the fast. Likewise, medication, the asthma pump, all these will break a person's fast, and the person's fast will become invalid for that day. So these are some of the aspects we keep in mind. There are many more details regarding vomiting also. There's some new detail. When he starts to vomit, Doesn't matter how much he vomits, and the fast won't break. He swak too much in the back, fluid came out, the fast doesn't break because of that. If it's less than a mouthful of vomit that came up and it reached the mouth, but then it went back down, then the fast doesn't break. Sometimes what happens, person ate something, sari time, and then during the day, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, feeling like some acid is coming up throat. Or he broke wind, he burped, and then he's feeling uncomfortable now. He doesn't know, it came out, went down, what happened? So then that doesn't break the fast. A person doesn't have to have any misgivings about that. If a fasting person's mouth bleeds, some people have their mouth bleed, the gums bleed while they are fasting. So if it can be seen in the saliva, and it is equal to or more than the saliva, then the fast will break, but only qaza will be wajib. If the blood cannot be seen in the saliva, it's very little, it's less than half of the saliva. So to say, it doesn't give that reddish color, you can't see that reddishness in the saliva, then that will not break the fast. Then we explained about medication. Okay, there's some aspects regarding permissible and impermissible acts. Some people, they ask these questions. Can you swallow your own saliva? Mucus in the nose. Can you sniff it in and swallow it? All is permissible. Person don't have to have doubts. People have doubts about all these things. Allah Ta'ala hasn't made it hard. Person swallows his own saliva. There's some mucus in his nose. He's feeling sick. So all that, it's fine to swallow it. Eye drops while fasting will not nullify the fast. Ear drops and nose drops will nullify the fast. Ear drops and nose drops will nullify the fast. Applying surma is permissible even if the surma can be seen in the mucus and in the saliva. Then taking an injection or taking insulin or an injection in the vein or in the muscle, that will not break the fast. If a person breaks his fast intentionally he went and he drank something and he ate something knowing that he is fasting, then he'll have to give kafara. He'll have to fast 60 consecutive fasts. 60 consecutive fasts or 2 Islamic months without a break in between and without any haram days of fasting coming in between. It's very encouraging. Someone had told me that there are people that when they heard about the kafara and they realized that in their lives they had done this, they made sure they kept the kafara. They even kept extra days after the kafara also. There are some people that are very, very sincere. 60 days consecutive, they kept that fast because they don't want to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding a journey, a person is making a safar. So fasting is compulsory on a person at the time of Subh al-Sadiq. He's not a musafir, he's still at home. So if the person is at home at the time of Subh al-Sadiq and he's going to travel later on the day, take a flight or travel later, then fasting for that day is compulsory on him. The concession is only for that person that at that time he is traveling or the next day. Obviously this is regarding the concession and the masla. It doesn't mean person, if he can or he wants to fast, then he should not fast. This is a concession is given for the traveler. And the concession is still there, even though the modes of travel are much more easier, air-conditioned, etc., and faster modes of travel, but still the concession applies. But if a person wants to fast and he has no problem in fasting, then he should keep the fast, and he shouldn't miss one fast of Ramadan. If he can fast for the rest of his life, it will not make up for the is not a valid reason for a person to miss the fast. He must continue the fast. And so being in the state of janabat, right through sari till fajr time, does not have any bearing on the fast itself. The fast, you can still make intention for the fast, and a person can still keep the fast. In fact, it is also mentioned that a person can make the intention for fasting Ramadan right till midday meaning from Subh al-Sadiq time till sunset, you measure halfway through, till that point in time, say around 10 o'clock for example, till about 9:30, 10 o'clock, till that point, he can make intention for fasting. For example, maybe a person is not well, is really not well, and he doesn't know now whether he must fast, not fast, what's going to happen, whether he'll end up in hospital, whatever it is. So he waits till about 9 o'clock to see how his tabiat is, whether he's going to need to go to hospital, whatever. So until that time, he's still got a chance to make niyat, and he can keep the fast, as long as he never eat from the time of sehri ended, until sunset, his fast will be valid. Inshallah, we'll continue. Next week will be the Shabi Barat, so there won't be any program. And the following week, inshallah, we'll continue. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah.